and recognize and report phishing, because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/...
When I asked Scott Lucky if his last name had anything to do with his success in the trucking industry, he laughed and said, "Well, Mike, I guess you could say I've always been lucky." But when I asked him how he and his family grew Lucky Distribution Services into the company it is today, he didn't talk about luck at all. "We work hard," he said. "We keep a close eye on the bottom line, and we treat our people the right way." In other words, Scott Lucky makes his own luck, which is precisely why he switched to Pure Talk Business. "Last month, I paid the big guys $740 for 12 lines," he told me. "This month, I paid Pure Talk $420 for the exact same service." Thousands of businesses all over the country are saving real money by switching to America's most dependable 5G network, and luck has nothing to do with it. Just dial #250 and say micro. That's #250 micro to switch to a wireless company that works as hard as you do. Pure Talk.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent in Madrid for meetings with the Chinese delegation says there's a tentative agreement to keep TikTok up and running in the U.S.
The framework is for it to switch to U.S.-controlled ownership. But again, I'm not going to get ahead of the leaders' call on Friday. We have a framework. They'll have to confirm the deal.
Under federal law, TikTok's Chinese owner is supposed to sell the social network or face a ban in the U.S. That deadline has been extended. Investigators still working to determine a motive in the fatal shooting of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Law enforcement sources familiar with the investigation tell ABC News officials say they've discovered evidence suspected shooter Tyler Robinson was tracking Kirk's events and public appearances through open source information on the internet, and have also gathered evidence showing the 22-year-old became familiar, allegedly, with Utah Valley University, including maps of the campus in the days before the attack. On Wall Street, stocks are mixed in afternoon trading. This is ABC News. Attorneys for Maureen Comey, in a new lawsuit, claim her firing from the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York was unlawful and constitutional, alleging her father, former FBI Director James Comey, likely led to the, quote, politically motivated firing.
The lawsuit calls her firing in July politically motivated. President Trump, the Justice Department, Attorney General Pam Bondi, and other defendants did not identify a cause or provide her due process. Her attorneys say Maureen Comey was assigned to prosecute high-profile defendants like Sean Combs and public corruption cases. They say the president lacks authority to fire ordinary federal prosecutors who are career civil servants for perceived disloyalty.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. In Minneapolis, nearly 3 weeks after a mass shooting during mass at Annunciation Catholic School, there are reports students are expected to return to classes tomorrow. Two children died and 21 others were injured. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
With the new IHOP value menu, $6 is all it takes to go to your happy place, where stacks of pancakes with bacon and eggs are just $6 every day. French toast, sausage, and eggs are, you guessed it, $6. And fluffy omelets come with a side of pancakes and only cost $6. Go to your happy place every day at IHOP. $7 in some locations. Available every day for a limited time at participating restaurants in the U.S. Hours may vary. No substitutions. Not valid with other discounts or promotions. Prices may vary.
A Progressive Home and Auto Bundle can protect you round the clock, but we can't protect you from those painful moments in sports.
Oh, I can't believe we blew a 5-touchdown lead.
Sure, but you got to feel like they were going to win for almost the entire game.
But I was about to buy playoff tickets.
So you were prepared for a good time. That's pretty nice.
It's the worst loss any team has ever had.
And you got to witness history.
Okay, we're done here.
Well, at least your home and auto are protected with a bundle from Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ailey. At the Capitol, Assembly Republicans' plan for the fall session includes several education-focused bills. Sturgeon Bay Representative Joel Kitchen says his would overhaul the state's math curriculum.
A bill will be introduced soon using screeners to catch struggling students early and put them on an individualized plan to catch them back up like we did in Act 20. This bill is not going to be the full solution to the problem, but I think it's a very good first step.
Full implementation of Act 20, which revamped the state's reading curriculum, was delayed when Governor Evers used his partial veto on a piece of the program. The state Supreme Court overturned that move this summer. New Wisconsin Department of Health Services grant program is rewarding the work done by local organizations.
Four organizations are each receiving one-time grants of $250,000 to provide services in their communities that prevent non-medical use of opioids. Substance abuse prevention organizations in Dunn and Pierce counties, Kenosha County, the Forest County Potawatomi community, and Milwaukee's Hispanic community are receiving the funding. The DHS grants are funded by Wisconsin's share of an opioid settlement. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A member of Wisconsin's congressional delegation is assigning blame for the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
House Democrats joined Wisconsin Republicans in posts to X condemning the shooting and political violence. But 3rd District Republican Derek Van Orden went in the other direction on the social media platform. In a series of posts, Van Orden blamed Democrats and the media for Kirk's murder and declared, quote, "The gloves are off." Van Orden, who's had a contentious relationship with the media, also interacted with reporters at the U.S. Capitol Thursday.
You are responsible for that assassination yesterday. You should be ashamed of yourself.
What about Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network?
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Just an outside chance of a shower or thunderstorm this afternoon. Otherwise, partly sunny and warm with highs in the mid-80s. That slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm will continue this evening. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies to be expected with a low near 66. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 73.
The grain markets gave back some of Friday's big gains. Corn led the way to the downside. Soybean meal followed corn, and eventually that pulled bean prices lower. And wheat fought a good battle but saw early strength fade into the close. Lean hog futures were higher, and the buyers came back and got aggressive in the cattle complex.
Live, leaving a little on the table via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon will feature a conversation with Arlen Suderman from StoneX. Later, Kerry Artak from Artak Advisory and WickedStocks.com. And directly following the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chap Lowry.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Glad that you are joining us on this Monday afternoon, Monday after a USDA report on Friday, and we got Arlen Suderman in here to talk about what's going on and what he saw in those numbers that we got from USDA. They pulled the national average corn yield down, just, you know, basically like the market expected it would. I think it came in a half a bushel above the average trade guess, which, hey, it's September. That's a hit.
Yeah,
that is a hit by the trade, and they did a really nice job anticipating what the yield would be. Where they missed and where pretty much everybody missed was on the acreage side of things. So we're going to talk about that. Why is it such a problem this year? Because we've seen this huge increase from not only the March prospective plantings report, but from the June acreage report, then we get this big jump from August to September. We'll find out and get Arlen's take on that. And before we even get to that, though, I want to talk about what's going on in the old crop markets. Basis stinks. What is it telling us? Now that we've got USDA's final carryover estimates on the old crop, before we get to September 1 quarterly grain stocks report that will set those carryover levels, there's been times in the past where this report has kind of rocked the corn market.
Yeah.
To me, the cash corn market is telling us, hey, we better watch out. Something like that could happen again. So we're going to get into that with Harlan. Looking forward to it. How you doing? Everything good?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. You?
Great.
You look
great.
Good. Yeah, you
Thank
seem fine.
You. You do, too.
Oh, shucks.
All right. Let's get to the markets.
Chip export inspections of wheat in the week ended September 11 totaled 755,000 metric tons. That tops trade expectations and helped wheat futures build on Friday's price gains. December soft red winter wheat futures opened slightly lower. Near session lows spent the entire session above the pivotal 520 level. The mid-range close was above Friday's high, the highest since September 2nd. The increases in global production estimates in Friday's World Ag Supply and Demand estimates and ideas that Russia will be more aggressive in marketing wheat in the year ahead made for a headwind, in the wheat market. December HRW wheat futures 0.75 cents lower, 514. December soft red wheat up 1.5 cents to 525. December spring wheat closed at 571.75. That one is dead steady on the day, Chip.
Yeah, harvest on that spring wheat is wrapping up. I think the spring wheat market is really just looking for direction and is going to be looking to the exports for some of that.
Well, December corn futures opened lower, posted an inside trading day with a mid-range open and a low-range close. Today's price action was consolidative following Friday's solid gains, but market bulls would have rather seen some follow-through buying to kick off the week. Chart watchers are focused on resistance at Friday's high of 430.25, and at resistance at the top of the July 7 downside price gap at 432.75. The increase in corn acres from the August production report is still a focus for the corn market, even as harvest reports begin to filter in from the middle of the belt. Export inspections of corn weekended September 11 totaled 1.51 million metric tons. That was at the top end of trade expectations. USDA also announced the sale of 149,000 metric tons of U.S. corn for delivery to unknown destinations. December corn futures 6.75 cents lower, 423.25. March corn down 6.25 to 441. May corn futures closed at 451.25, down 5.75 cents on the day.
There is no arguing that demand on that old crop is good. It has been really good. That's one of the reasons that I'm wondering, is there really just 1.3 billion bushels of old crop corn left out there. So we'll talk to Arlen about it.
Yeah, you bet. Soybean export inspections totaled just over 804,000 metric tons. That easily topped trade expectations. Friday's increased acres and slight cut to the national average soybean yield, still the focus of the bean market today. Spreaders were active in the soy complex again, with buyers favoring bean oil and sellers in the meal market. Beans worked higher early in the session, but followed soybean meal late in the day. Novi beans opened lower and then rallied to spike resistance at Friday's high before falling back to close just under the opening range. All told, November beans were 3.5 cents lower today at 10.42.75. January beans down 3.5 to 10.61.75. March beans closed at 10.76.5, down 3.75 cents.
December meal today down 290, 285, 70. December bean oil up 9 points, 52.26.
December cotton today closed at 66.84. That's up 1 point. Buyers charged back into the cattle complex. October fats were $4.62.5 higher, but 234.60. And October feeders $8.70 higher on the day, 354.50. And hogs saw an inside trading day. October contract 40 cents higher, 97.52.5, Chip.
Thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Hey, Jack, how's it going?
Going great. Beautiful day here in Chicago, and just a beautiful sunny day. Enjoying it all.
Well, good, good. I would have liked to have seen a little follow-through buying in the corn market. What'd you make of it?
I was disappointed myself. I thought Friday, especially after the USDA report, showed an uptick in production because the increased planted area and harvested area. I thought that was bad news for the market, and the market reacted positively to bad news, but it didn't follow through today. So that was a very disappointing development.
Yeah, Yeah, no question about it. It now, what is the market looking for, Jack? I mean, is it the September 1 stocks? Is it harvest reports? What's the next thing highest on the list?
I think we're going to go after some harvest reports. I know I was talking to a producer down in the Morris area here in Illinois, and he said there's some harvesters starting to roll in his area. So we're going to hear more and more. And I saw some reports on the internet here last Friday as well. So we're going to get more and more of those, and that'll probably be as important as anything. The stocks report's going to be very interesting, because you got to wonder exactly what we got. You know, our demand has been fabulous this year, especially in the corn market. But we're going to have to see if we've used up the corn faster pace than everybody thought.
Yep. Very good. Jack, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great.
All right, Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Coming up next, I want to start with the old crop and what the old crop cash market has been telling us. We're going to do that with Arlen Suderman, StoneX Group, next.
We're number one. We're number one.
The Pioneer brand floor seedingless corn team beat DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro.
They scored a 7.1 bushels per acre average yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
They're coming this way.
Woo! We crushed corn rootworm.
How'd you guys do it?
Three modes of action, baby.
How'd you clobber those weeds?
Herbicide flexibility, yeah!
Another winning season.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and AgDay's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.34% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you're with us on this Monday afternoon, day after USDA reports on Friday, business day after. the crop production and supply and demand reports from USDA. So we need to continue to dig into these reports and pull out some of the details here. And we're going to do that with Arlen Suderman. Arlen is the chief commodities economist for Stone X Group. Arlen, it's good to talk with you again, man. How are you? Uh-oh. I think we're missing him. What's going on there, Big Apple Joe? We're not getting any audio. Maybe is this... Yeah, it looks like his headset is on.
Now we got him.
Hey, yep. There we go. Now we got you, Arlen. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to be back with you, Chip.
Good. I'm glad that you are here. I am because, man, oh, man, trying to figure out exactly what is going on as we wrap up the 2024-25 marketing year, as we get started into the 25-26 marketing year. It's kind of a critical time, and I feel like these markets are at critical junctions. And I want to start with old crop because I love that carryover number at 1.325 billion bushels. I want to believe that the old crop corn carryover that USDA has got is right. And then I take a look at the cash corn market, Arlen, and I have trouble believing it. What signals are you picking up?
Well, the basis for the old crop is pretty variable right now across the Midwest. There are some areas where they need some quick shipment. Obviously, farmers aren't selling where they don't like the price and don't have to sell, so they're not selling. And so we do have some locations where we're trying to move grain, and we have some pushes on basis, particularly on the river markets. But elsewhere as well, there are spots where we're seeing some pushes, but those pushes are generally pretty quickly filled. And we have other places where it's pretty weak basis because they figure, hey, we've got enough coverage until the new crop comes, and we figure it's going to be a big crop. We're going to have big supplies. Storage is going to be a problem, especially in the northwestern half of the Midwest. That's going to be a factor. The further north and west you go, the worse it gets. And so they're just trying to move stuff out as quickly as possible, trying to make room with the absence of the rail market in the northwest going to the PNW. Yeah. With China not buying, that means it's going to be at a real premium this year. Those places are tending to have weaker basis.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I always get a little anxious at this time of the year on the even with the old crop numbers, Arlen, because USDA has got a history of showing us a 1.325 billion bushels in the September WASD, and then 2 weeks later we get the September 1 stocks data, and it shows us that there was 200 million bushels more out there than what we thought there was going to be. Is there a risk of that happening this year, or do you not see that?
Oh, there's always a risk of that with USDA. I can do a fairly good job of predicting where the errors may be on the WASD reports and where we may be off. But when it comes to quarterly stocks, there's not a lot of logic to the surprises and the directions of the surprises. They could just as easily be 200 million less, but the market will be so focused on the crop that's coming in, it won't have much of a market impact, so to speak. So there's all kinds of possibilities. My balance sheet shows a 1.3 billion bushel carryout, so I'm 25 million bushels less. Again, that's not a market moving factor when you're about to harvest the crop size we are, although we still don't know what the size of the crop is. It's obviously getting smaller at a pretty good clip.
Okay. All right. And I'll admit, there's a reason for my nervousness around this September 1 stocks data. And it has something to do with the 2025 corn acres. We were up from March to June. We were up from June to August. We were up from August to September on these acres. I don't feel like USDA is doing a quote-unquote great job of estimating acres. And I just wonder if we're not going to get to the September 1 quarterly grain stocks report and there's not going to have to be some kind of an adjustment to the acres on the 24 crop. Just because they got me a little snake bit right now on these acreage numbers, Arlen.
Yeah, it's a puzzle, that's for sure. We charted out and looked at adjustments from USDA's June 30th acreage report to the adjustments made due to the FSA acreage certification.
Yep.
We have not had anything close to this type of an adjustment in the last 20 years that we looked. And so USDA really missed it on that versus the FSA numbers. Now, what are the potential reasons for that? That's just kind of shooting in the wind what the reasons might be. If you go back to 2019, I think that's the last time we had supplemental payment to farmers that was based on certified crop acres. Mm-hmm. And there's been rumors of another possible payment this year. So did that cause farmers to increase participation in certifying, mm-hmm. shall we say it nicely that way? Maybe that was a factor. I don't know. But that was a huge miss by USDA in that June survey.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Do you believe the 98.7?
No, I really don't. Oh. I really struggle with that. I don't think the acreage is that high. No.
Okay. Geez, I was about to make some kind of a broad blanket statement of, now, guys, when he says it's not that he's questioning the 98.7, it's that he's questioning the accuracy of the surveys. But, okay, how do they get it wrong at this point, Arlen, with the certified acreage data?
Well, you also heard me, you just heard yeah. me say there may have been some increase in certification, but if you look at the amount that the FSA certification increased from August to September, acreage went up by, USDA increased their acreage by more than that. They jumped it up even more. So there's something going on here. I don't know what it is. I think to make that big of a shift, farmers in the core of the Midwest don't like to get out of their rotations that much. And so we did certainly increase in corn acres, but you look at these numbers, a big jump in acreage in this report came from Minnesota and the Dakotas. That's where a lot of the corn acres came from. Soybeans, it was a little bit more spread around, but that's where a lot of it came in. Perhaps we increased corn acres that much, but I'm a little bit skeptical.
Yeah, Arlen, I tell you what, you guys, trade analysts, have become so good at looking at that August certified acreage data and being able to extrapolate that out and what the final number should be. You guys have all become really good at it. USDA became good at it. And so when I get that increase that we got from June to August, I thought, okay, they caught it. That's why last week's increase mm-hmm. in corn acres just floored me when I saw it, left me shaking my head.
Yeah, if you know, they've been moving it earlier and earlier. It used to be they didn't use the FSA acreage really until October. And then they said, well, we've got enough of the acreage certified in now. We can do it in September. And then was it a year ago? They said, you know, we've got most of the data in. We can do it in August. And so that should catch the bulk of the change. Yeah. And all of a sudden we think, oh, okay, most of it's in. It surprised us, but at least it's in now. And I was telling people only we should see tweaks in the numbers going yep. forward for September and on. And then lo and behold, we get the 1.4 million acre change.
Yeah. Yeah. It absolutely floored me. It was a piece of information that I absolutely, it hit me from left field. And I just was not expecting that at all. So there's no way they would take it down in the October crop production report, is there?
That would be hard for them to explain doing. They would have to say, we made a mistake, and yeah. that's not in USDA's vocabulary. They would say, well, we got additional data in. Well, how can you get additional data to certifications that farmers uncertify acres? That doesn't make sense. So I think they'd have to admit to a mistake to doing that. So if their acreage stays high and they notice it's a mistake, then you would anticipate then that yield would come down. Now, we're anticipating yield coming down anyway, but you still got to make it come out right.
Wow. Okay. Man, oh, man, you've given me a whole lot more to think about here as far as these production numbers go and what to expect going forward. We are in the middle of a conversation with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist for the Stone X Group. We're going to talk more about those new crop supply and demand balance sheets next.
Hey, what's cooking?
Hey, Jim.
Hey.
What do you think of the selection?
Yeah. Well, having a great selection is super important. It's how you stand out. Yeah. By broadly accessing the industry's latest genetics and traits, we only recommend the best seed for your fields.
Great. But I was talking about the burgers and dogs.
Oh, yeah. Those too.
Talk to your local Cropland retail seed expert today. Cropland Seed. Anything but typical.
Tariffs, trade deals, federal budgets, regulations, uncertainty abounds wherever you look. But one thing seems certain, the 2025 corn crop could break records across the United States. Talk with an AgMarket.net hedging strategist today, and we'll help you cut through the noise so you can make informed decisions based on facts. Our experienced team offers farmers and producers commodity brokerage and consulting services. Global perspective, local insight. Head to AgMarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where December hard red winter wheat futures were 0.75 cents lower at 514. December SRW wheat up 1.5 cents to 525. December corn futures were 6.75 cents lower at 423.25. March corn down 6.25 cents to 441. November soybean futures were 3.5 cents lower on the day at 10.42.75. March beans closed at 10.76.5. That's down 3.75 cents. December cotton today closed at 66.84. That's up 1 point today. Livestocks, October fat cattle, $4.62.5 higher, 234.60. Look out for October feeders, $8.70 higher, 354.50. And October lean hog futures 40 cents higher at 97.52 and one half.
My fiance.
BioVet combines the latest research and technology to develop high-quality microbial and nutritional solutions for your operation. BioVet's innovative product line supports the immune system, digestive function, reproduction, along with growth and development of your livestock. Learn more at bio-vet.com and visit us at World Dairy Expo booth number EH1503 and 1504. EH1503 and 1504.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number two diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Just an outside chance of a shower or a thunderstorm this afternoon. Otherwise, partly sunny and warm with highs in the mid-80s. That slight chance of a shower or a thunderstorm will continue this evening. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies to be expected with a low near 66. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 73.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Maybe someday I'll be strong.
We are in the middle of a conversation with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist for StoneX Group. Arlen, you've already said a couple of times that you expect the crop size, corn crop size, to shrink going forward. It's hard to imagine it happening because of a cut to the acres. So USDA gave us a national average corn yield, 186.7. Where do you think that number's headed?
Lower. How much lower? That's really going to come down to the combine telling us seed size. And that the agronomist in me, and I was an agronomist before I came into the line of work that I am. I walked a lot of cornfields and did a lot of yield estimating. It's hard for me to see the seed size being there. When I look at the ear populations on that USDA report, on the NAS report, and I look at how low those ear populations are, and I look at that yield, I think, wow, we must have had a great grain fill period of time. Yeah. Big kernels in order to get it. And in that scenario, you could have a yield that high. Mm-hmm. But we didn't have weather for that kind of grain fill. And I would anticipate smaller than normal seed size. And so with that ear population, if the ear population is right, then the yields have to come down. Conversely, soybean pod count was really high. And the question is, what's the size of those beans in there? And again, with the weather we've had, I would expect some smaller beans, which will pull the yield down. I just think USDA basically left its soybean yield unchanged because it wants more data and just didn't want to make an adjustment until it had more data. I get that. But on the corn side, that was a little bit puzzling that we didn't see more of a yield drop, considering the weather we've had, considering the field sampling with that ear population.
Yeah, yeah. And Arlen, I think I made a mistake on Friday's report, Davis, when we were talking about the bean yields and everything, because I mentioned, yeah, I was just kind of flying through some stuff, and I mentioned that it looked like a heavy pod. But it's not. Yeah, it's a great pod count, but even at 53.5, it's not a super heavy pod that they're talking about. But there's probably still some room to the downside, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, soybean, as you know, soybean yields are tough to estimate in the field. That's why crop tours like yours and every other crop tour basically just does pod counts. So translating that into a yield is a challenge. But it's still my sense from my agronomy years that we're probably going to pull that yield a little bit lower. And with the lower acreage on soybeans, that means that you're a little tighter situation. It can have an impact a little bit quicker.
Okay. Remind me again what the schedule is at StoneX, because obviously the StoneX survey has captured a whole lot of attention this year, Arlen. Who does that survey?
Bevan Everett does that survey. He did it along with Doug Jackson. Doug Jackson trained him on it. So when Doug Jackson retired, Bevan took over, and we've been doing it since 1993. So pretty good track record over that period of time.
Yeah, yeah. And Doug, I mean, I learned a lot about estimating a corn crop and trying trying to estimate a bean crop from Doug, too. And just he was shared a lot of good information with me over the years. There's no question about that. So when is Devin, when's he doing one for the October report?
Absolutely. So we do it basically first of each month, obviously on a business day, so to speak. And a lot of people ask me, oh, can you share what the data is coming in? And no, we don't see the data. We have a deadline for the data being after the markets close, and then it's quickly all put into the formulas, and the answers come out a couple hours later, because we don't want to have the final number before the markets closed to avoid any type of accusation of insider trading or anything like that.
Yeah. Yep. Gotcha. I can't help myself, Arlen. I'm going to ask you, what's the downside risk on this corn yield?
That's a great question. The agronomist in me, and I was asked this morning, the agronomist in me would say something like a 178. Then I look at what we've been doing with our genetics of late, and I'm thinking, okay, is it possible to have something more? I know that we have some areas in Northwestern, Midwest, which are looking really good. And I've seen some private pictures of some corn ears from the Northwestern Midwest that look really good. Minnesota and the Dakotas will have a larger percentage of this year's crop than what we've ever had before, very possibly. So trying to weigh that all together, it'll be interesting. I think it was Tyne who asked me the first week of March, Arlen, off the air, what's your gut say? And I said, my gut says a 182. But when you look at how we finished and the weather we've had since then, you know, that upper 170s, as from an agronomy standpoint, really looks more realistic. But then I look at what Brazil did last year with half a rainfall, half a normal rainfall. Now, normal's pretty good. But even what we've produced here in the States on some of the stress that we've had in recent years, these genetics have really done well.
Yeah. Yep. The genetic on Friday I said something about it wouldn't surprise me if this corn crop doesn't end up below a year ago, 179.3. But the genetic bonus that I want to put on it has still got me at that 182 level, 182 mm-hmm. to 183. It seems to me like that's a pretty logical place for it to be. So if we get down to 182, we're going to have to take, what, another 400, 500 million bushels off the corn crop? What's that do to the outlook?
Well, this is where farmers are going to get frustrated, because I believe that USDA, in order to avoid printing an ending stocks number above 2.1 billion, has some fluff in the demand numbers. Mm-hmm. And the biggest place for that is in the feed numbers. When the Mexico border closed to feeder cattle coming north because of New World screwworm, we lost 1.2 million head of cattle that would have been fed in the United States per year. That's what was in 2024 anyway, that now need to be fed in Mexico. That's one big reason we have the big export numbers. We're exporting corn down to Mexico so the cattle can be fed there, slaughtered, and the meat sent back up here. And yeah. How in the world then they should have lowered the feed usage estimate for new crop because of that. Instead, they bumped it 250 million bushels. So that's going to be very frustrating to farmers that they did that. I think USDA is just hoping upon hope that yields will come down to give them cover for pulling that demand number down. But if you look at 1.2 million head of cattle, that's about 72 million bushels of corn that should have come off. I still increased from last year's feed usage number about 75 million for increased poultry and pork feeding over the coming marketing year. But that still leaves me considerably below where USDA is at. My feed number right now is 5.75 versus USDA at 6.1.
Yeah. Yeah, they put so much into that. And I agree. And, you know, I don't think it should be to any – it's no secret that as our total supplies go up, so does that residual use in the feed and residual category. But, boy, I don't know if I've seen them bulk it up like it's bulked up right now, Arlen.
Let me finish on a positive note on that, though.
Okay.
As big as this crop is and as big as the Brazil crop is that just got harvested, global demand continues to exceed production. And if you look at where we were 10 years ago, global corn stocks to use was at better than 32%. In other words, at the end of the year, we had almost a third of our annual usage left over. We've been pulling that down year after year. Now it's below 22% and still trending lower. Still not as low as it was 15 years ago, but it's moving in that direction. So it's not necessarily bullish the market, but we're heading in the right direction. There's light at the end of the tunnel because we are consuming corn at a faster and faster pace, faster than what we're increasing production.
Yep. Okay. Okay. Arlen, I'm concerned for this corn market in that I don't know if it's going to believe harvest reports. I don't know if it's going to believe here's what's coming in from combines. Here's how things compared to a year ago on farmer reports. It's going to have to be a USDA report, isn't it?
It is. That's what the market's going to believe. And, you know, I hope USDA is better than I hope they get it right by November instead of having to wait to January like last year.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a process. We lose patience. And the whole season, including the fall, now is discovery. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to connect dots on what is going to happen out there. And I agree with you. Let's get it done by November. Let's not have to wait until January to get the dots connected, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the next big problem is simply finding a storage spot. Yep. With the lack of Chinese business, once we find a storage spot for everything, then farmers have an opportunity to capture the basis improvement. And there's also opportunities to capture the carry in the market here if you've got a good strategy for doing so.
Yeah. Yep. Every time you're on, I say we should talk for 2 hours instead of the 20 minutes that we get, Arlen. I feel that way again at the end of this conversation. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, that is Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist there at StoneX Group. Carry our tech next.
Let me tell you about this new pretzel cheddar club. Hey, I'm Carlos.
And I'm Ebony. And a little thing we love about the Chick-fil-A Pretzel Cheddar Club
is the tangy Dijon with the pretzel bun. It takes it to a whole nother level.
It goes perfectly with the chicken and the cheddar cheese and the bacon.
Man, you know how much you love bacon. And I love the different varieties, grilled, spicy, original. It gets you nice and excited for fall.
Order the Pretzel Cheddar Club with Cherry Berry and Sprite for a limited time on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-264-0149 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-264-0149. That's 800-264-0149. What do you have to lose? Call 800-264-0149. Again, 800-264-0149.
Is hard enough. Don't let compliance paperwork slow you down. At Dakota Group, we make DOT compliance simple and easy. From MCS 150 and UCR filings to strategic advisory services and more, Dakota Group is your trusted partner for comprehensive trucking compliance solutions. Don't wait. Get your trucking business DOT compliant today. Call 844-426-2400 today. Don't wait. Get your trucking business DOT compliant today.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936. Again, 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters, with host Davis Michelson, explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us. Boy, good conversation with Arlen.
No, he's good stuff about, all day long.
Yeah, about old crop and this new crop. And you know, boy, it pretty matter-of-fact, sensible conversation there about what this new crop is looking like with some of the damage that has happened to the corn crop in the middle of the country in particular. But, you know, the Eastern Belt, we got to include that in there as well with some of the dry conditions. And then adding marginal acres or lower yielding acres in the Dakotas, northern Minnesota, it all makes sense. Okay, let's bring in Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory and WickedStocks.com. How are you, Kerry?
I'm doing fantastic, Chip. Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're here. You got a heck of a lineup that we're going to get to here in just a second. Don't forget, if you guys want to take a look at what Kerry and his team are doing on the commodity side, go to artacadvisory.com. That's A-R-T-A-C, advisory.com. On the equity side, go to wickedstocks.com. Both places, Kerry will get you set up with a free trial and let you take a look at what he and the team are doing. Love this lineup today. Corn, cattle, and Tesla. Hit it.
There you go. Yeah, D25 corn, it was a month ago that we were testing seasonal lows, or actually placing seasonal lows around 392 and a quarter. That came very close to testing the year ago low at 385 even. August of 24, we put out a 385 even low on the long-term weekly chart. So on the way up, we had a buy signal about 2 weeks ago that remains intact above 415 even. 423 and a quarter was today's settlement, and holding above 415 even does maintain 438 and a quarter. That was a 3 to 5 week target. Now it's more like 2 to 3 weeks because it was about 2 weeks ago. 438 and a quarter, if tested over the next 2 to 3 weeks, that is an 8 month descending channel top projected off the January highs and can contain buying through the rest of the year. We could fall away from there through the rest of the year. If we can close above 438 and a quarter, and that is dropping weekly, So it'll be a little lower next week. If we can close above it at the end of any week, I then see a good low through the rest of the year. And over the following 2 to 3 months, 488.5 is likely. 488.5, by the way, is a 3-year descending channel top that is projected up to 22 highs. And that really defines everything for the broader corn futures market over the last few years. If we can get up and over 488.5, say by the end of the year, then 26 is looking like a strong year as we move into next summer. Until then, a talking 415 even support. If we happen to fall away and close below 415 even at the end of this week, we are back on the defensive as we move into October. Over the following 3 to 5 weeks, I wouldn't be surprised to actually test that 385 even low from a year ago outright, where we actually could double bottom through the rest of the year. On to October 25 live cattle. We closed today around 234.60. Last week, we closed back below a significant support area that we closed above several weeks earlier. So there's this 5-year channel top that is projected off the COVID low from 2020. We pushed through that a few weeks ago. That set up kind of price acceleration to the upside. Our next target, 260-250. Last week, we collapsed back below it, and we also settled below 233.52, which is the low of the high from several weeks ago. So just to sort of summarize, if we close this week again below 233.52 like we did last week, we do maintain what I consider to be a long-term high, likely bearish continuation by the end of the year to 219 even. And by spring, summer of next year, I wouldn't be surprised to see the low 200s, 202 even as a long-term channel bottom and climbing. This all true if we continue closing the week below 233.52. Inversely, if we close above 235.80, and keep in mind, we closed today right in the middle of these two important price points. So if we close Friday back above 235.80, that actually sort of negates that sell signal from last week. And I have no other way to see it. But yes, over the next 3 to 5 months, we could see that 260-250 level again. Not again, but that would resume as a long-term objective if we close this week back above 235.80. But right now, this is just the market recovering. I think we got a lot of shorts in the market, a bit of a short cover rally. I'm assuming today this market still remains heavy below 233.52. On to Tesla. I covered Tesla last week. I think it deserves being covered again this week. I'd mentioned in last week's program that if we closed roughly above 360 even, that we've got a long-term buy signal. That happened last Thursday. Friday was just an explosion. We were trading around 409 even last. We got up to around 425 and changed today. With the way this momentum is playing out, I guess Elon bought $1 billion worth of Tesla today that launched part of this rally. So big picture, continued weekly settlements above 360.76. I do maintain like a 5 to 8 month objective at 523 even. We could see that much sooner with present volatility. I do think 453.5 is likely over the next 2 to 3 months. We could top out there for a month or so. And in fact, at 453.5, with the way things are going, we might actually see that over the next couple of weeks. 453.5 is our next critical upside pivot point, able to contain monthly highs. And if we can close above 453.5, that 523 level expected within just another 2 to 3 months, that is a long-term 5-year channel top, able to contain buying possibly through all of 26. Now, if we collapse back and close below 360.76 this week, which is not likely to happen, then all bets are off. 301 even likely over the following 3 to 5 weeks, and possibly lower as we continue into later year. But we're in the midst of a significant buy signal for Tesla, and is certainly behaving that way. And that's really all I have, Chip.
All right. That is awesome. Kerry, thank you so much. Appreciate you, buddy. We'll talk to you again next Monday. All right. Kerry Artek, Artek Advisory, wickedstocks.com. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for September 21st. Through the 25th. Davis, above normal temperatures expected in every spot in the continental 48, in eastern Alaska, and in most of Hawaii. I mean, this is about as above normal a temperature outlook as I have ever seen.
Covers everybody. Yeah.
It covers everybody. That's right. Below normal precipitation expected in North and South Dakota, Minnesota, and northern Wisconsin. Near normal precipitation over the center of the belt. You get over into southern Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, we're looking at above normal precipitation. 8 to 14 day This is September 23rd through the 29th. Above normal temperatures and near normal to below normal on the precip. Thank you so much for listening today. Come back tomorrow morning. Breaking Barriers with R&D, Randy Dowdy, and David Hula here on AgriTalk.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just...
When I asked Scott Lucky if his last name had anything to do with his success in the trucking industry, he laughed and said, "Well, Mike, I guess you could say I've always been lucky." But when I asked him how he and his family grew Lucky Distribution Services into the company it is today, he didn't talk about luck at all. "We work hard," he said. "We keep a close eye on the bottom line, and we treat our people the right way." In other words, Scott Lucky makes his own luck, which is precisely why he switched to Pure Talk Business. "Last month, I paid the big guys $740 for 12 lines," he told me. "This month, I paid Pure Talk $420 for the exact same service." Thousands of businesses all over the country are saving real money by switching to America's most dependable 5G network, and luck has nothing to do with it. Just dial #250 and say micro. That's #250 micro to switch to a wireless company that works as hard as you do. Pure Talk.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen.